from the campus of New Hope Christian College. Welcome to Words of New Hope.
And then, you know, on cereals and breads on the back, it'll say preservative added for its freshness. It's a chemical called BHT, butylated hydrocyanisole. Easy for you to say. And it is that which keeps breakfast cereals fresh. In fact, it can stay on store shelves and stay fresh in its packaging 10 years. It'll stay like that, 10 years.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. In the next half hour, you're going to find out why you've been making so many trips to the medicine chest to get that antacid. It's all because of what you ate. But for now, put away the Tums and turn your radio up. The doctor has just the prescription you need. Here he is, Dr. Wayne Cordero, with a message entitled Heartburn. You are what you eat.
Why do so many people get heartburn? It's because of what we eat. I was doing some study on what we're eating, and on an average day in the USA, like tomorrow, listen to this. Tomorrow, 220,000 people will visit a doctor. Tomorrow alone, 80 million aspirins will be swallowed. Tomorrow alone, 4,000 people will suffer heart attacks. Tomorrow, 2 million Americans will experience heartburn. Tomorrow, $1.4 million will be spent on laxatives, loosening your bowels. And $2 million will be spent tomorrow on antacids alone, just tomorrow. So you figure that out over a period of a year, hundreds of billions of dollars are spent. In fact, last year alone, $975 billion was spent on keeping us healthy because of what we eat. Antacids, pain relievers, laxative, all kinds of stuff. Going to the hospital, having surgery for problems, all of that. You know why? It's what we're eating. How many of you, like me, love Jell-O? Raise your hand. There's always room for Jell-O. Let me tell you, if there's really room. You know how they make Jell-O? Here it is. They boil pig skins and hide trimmings in lime. And then when the hair falls off, they add to it cow hooves and pig hooves. They boil it, and then you eat the Jell-O. That's true. So when you eat Jell-O tomorrow, look for toenails. Okay. Ice cream with artificial flavoring. You buy at the store, try to let that thing melt overnight. Some of it will, but there's going to be a spongy mess left. You know why it's spongy? Because ice cream that's made with artificial flavoring, it's made with sodium hydroxide and disodium phosphates, which is a petroleum byproduct. From the same ingredients that you find in that ice cream, you will also have in paint thinner, antifreeze, and check this out, embalming fluids. That's why some of you look so young. You can look like that forever. And here's one of our favorites. In Siamese and Chinese food, Ajinomoto, MSG. Monosodium glutamate. When they did some tests in laboratory animals, in every case, without one exception, there was reproductive problems, depression, irritability, and here it is, brain damage. Portuguese eat too much thymine. And then here's an interesting one. Bread made with bleached flour. The Federal Register standard has allowed the following chemicals to be allowed in the bleaching of white flour. The first is something called nitrogen trichloride. They tested it with dogs. It gave dogs running fits when they gave them this chemical. I don't know if it's just physically running or the other kind running, but they had fits. And then, you know, on cereals and breads on the back, it'll say a preservative added for its freshness. It's a chemical called BHT, butylated hydrocyanisole. Easy for you to say. And it is that which keeps breakfast cereals fresh. In fact, it can stay on store shelves and stay fresh in its packaging 10 years. It'll stay like that, 10 years. So tests, when it was given, showed metabolic stress, growth retardation, liver and kidney damage, higher cholesterol, and get this, baldness. Some of you have been eating too much cereal and white bread. Don't look at your neighbor. Baldness. But the good news is, it says, at least when your hair falls out, it'll stay fresh on the countertop for up to 10 years. Well, that's the stuff we're eating. So then we have to neutralize it with the billions of dollars of antacids and laxatives. You are what you eat. Now you think of that and say, you know, we got to start really watching what we eat here. But there's something even much more important that God says, if you just eat that stuff, you die. There's something much more important. I think we'll be intrigued by our key verse today. Let's read at the top of our notes. It comes out of Matthew 4:4. Are you ready? Let's read it. Go. It is written, man shall not live on white bread alone. Go. But on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is saying, what really will be nutrients to you, what will really give you health, is not just bread. It's not what you eat physically. It's what you will eat spiritually, because that will last forever. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, or what God says to you is the most important food you'll ever take in. And if you're not hearing what God is saying to you, you will be starving to death spiritually. What are you feeding your soul? It's infinitely more important than what you're feeding your body, even though that is extremely important. But today we want to talk about what God has designed to feed our souls and our minds and our hearts, to give us wisdom in daily decisions. If you've been reading with us through the Bible and our Bible bookmarks, you will have just gone through Amos. And one of the things that God says to the people of Judah, he says, the reason the punishment or the wrath of God is going to come upon you without revoke is because, here it is, Amos 2:4, because you have rejected the law of the Lord and have refused to keep his statutes. The law of the Lord is what the Bible is. It's sort of like the law of gravity or the second law of thermodynamics. This is the law of God, which means the ways of God, how to cooperate with God's ways. That's the laws of God. And so he's saying, because you've rejected my laws, the wrath of God will come upon you. And then further in Amos chapter 8, he says there's going to come a famine, a great famine like you've never seen before. But it will not be a famine for the lack of bread or thirst of water. It'll be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. So there'll come a time when that which God has made available to us, through which he will speak, it is so available, so plenteous, but we will reject it, and there will be a famine on the land. Now, in contrast with that, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus gives the greatest commendation and honors a person of great faith. The greatest commendation in the New Testament of what faith is. But that commendation, that accolade, that honor was not given to one of his disciples. It wasn't given to a Pharisee or a priest or a Levite. That greatest honor was given to a centurion, a foreigner. Well, how did this come about? Well, one day a centurion or a soldier came to Jesus and said, Lord, I have a servant that's sick. Would you heal my servant? The Lord said, you know, I'll follow you. Come on, let's go to your house. And the centurion said, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But if you'll speak the word, my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority. I say to one, goes to go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. Jesus looked at him and said, you know, you're amazing. You know the power and the shaping power of the word of God. That's right, Lord. If you'll just say, be healed, that's it. It's done. I trust your word. That's what shapes my life, and that's what I'll depend on, and that's what I'll go by, and that's what'll direct my life and my future and my actions. The Lord stopped the whole entourage and said, I have not seen this great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. Who was that commendation given to? Someone who believed the word of God and knew it enough to depend completely on it. And today we want to talk about the shaping power of the Word and the principles that give great wisdom. Well, you say, well, Wayne, how do we find these principles from which we will gain or attain wisdom for life? Because of all of us need great wisdom. We don't have enough wisdom right now where we are to be a dad that we should be, the mom that we should be, or a husband, or a wife, or an employer, employee, a son, daughter, grandfather, grandmother. We just need more wisdom so that we'll be making decisions wisely. How do we garner the wisdom necessary to be the people God wants us to be? Well, let me give you three sources of wisdom. It's in your notes there. Number one, would you write down Camaro Cordero? No. That's joking. The first is experiences. Experiences. When you go through an experience and the result is beneficial or the consequences of pain, when you go through an experience, you are now wiser because you've gone through it. You've experienced it. For example, you run into the concrete wall. Bang! Wall is very hard. So now you're wiser. Wall hard, nose soft. I break nose, wall not broke. I lose, wall win. And now you are wiser. One is through experiences. You gain wisdom. But you just don't have enough bones in your body to break to gain the wisdom you will need for the tasks at hand and the intersections of life that you'll come to where you need God's light and God's wisdom to navigate and negotiate the turns, whether it comes to a wife-to-be or husband-to-be in dating, in courting, in marriage, in the situations, jobs, future, all of these things. Lord, I need more and I don't have enough experiences to garner and accumulate enough wisdom to be able to make these decisions the way you want me to make them. So, although one source is experiences, it's not enough. So the second source, would you write down? Others' experiences. Let them run into the wall. You see, you can learn from others' experiences, can't you? Somebody else runs into the wall. Bang! They turn around and say, wall hard knows not. I lose, wall wins. Don't run into walls. You now let that experience then take place. You take the gem of wisdom that they learn and drop that into your heart. Now you have the wisdom without having to go through the experience. Do you understand? That's why when people come up and give testimonies, it's so critical, important, because they'll say, I went to prison, or I did this, or I made this mistake, and the Lord delivered me from it. What you do is you just take that wisdom and put it in your life. Now you are wiser. And he went through the experience you don't have to go through. I blew up my marriage. I blew up my family. I gave into this temptation that ruined a lot of things. I neglected my wife. I neglected my husband. Don't do that. Now you don't have to go through it. Just take the wisdom and say, okay, that's why receptivity and teachability is so absolutely critical. If you don't have that, and if people come up and share advice or counsel, and if you don't take it, then you basically will have to bump back down to the first grade of the source of wisdom, and that is you're going to have to what? Experience it yourself. Absolutely nuts. And when you do that, you'll never garner enough wisdom. That's why counsel is so incredibly important. And look around. Look at the many people that have had experiences here that we can counsel one another. And that's why Romans 15 says in the Philips, you are competent to counsel one another. That's why the small groups are so important and the friendships and the connectedness. That will give you wisdom. Well, you say, well, Wayne, that's good, but I don't have enough advisors or mentors and coaches that'll walk with me every day to give me enough wisdom. I can't meet with them every day, and I need fresh wisdom every day. How can I get wisdom beyond even my present life and advisors? Wouldn't it be great if you can reach into history and garner all the wisdom from the best? I read a book called Lincoln on Leadership, or Lessons of Leadership by Abraham Lincoln. And I read through that, and you know what I was able to do from that book of this wonderful leader, a hero that lived years ago? I started garnering pieces of wisdom. And I'd read, and oh man, that is so good. And what happened was I was able to not have to go through all of the strain and struggle and pain that he did, But I was able, through that man's life, to get wisdom. I also have a book written in 1885 that's so precious to me. It's an autobiography of Titus Cohen, whom God used in 1837 to bring a great revival birthed in Hilo. And it swept the islands, called A New Awakening here in Hawaii. And he writes this book, and as I read it, and the pages are so tender and so fragile, because it's written over 100 and some years ago. And as I turn it, I cherish every page, and I read it slowly so I can garner the wisdom of this man and say, Lord, pour this into my heart. And I was thinking, Lord, wouldn't it be neat if I could have like 70 or so of these kinds of the best leaders that you approve and that are heroes in your eyes, not just in men's eyes. And if I had like 70 of these, and then I could have the wisdom of the ages. Lord, I know this one book is so precious to me. Just think if I had 70. If you had 70 of the world's best leaders, God approved, and their lessons of wisdom were recorded, how much would you pay for that library? I'd pay thousands of dollars for that, because it'll give me the wisdom of the ages. What if, even better, that was edited and brought down into an anthology, all in one volume, of God's best? And then God says, if you will read this, it'll give you the wisdom of the ages. How much would that be worth? I'd pay thousands for that. But you don't have to, because we have it in the bookstore. And it's about $39. Here it is. Did you know that it's called the Bible? Would you write in your third line there, the third source of wisdom is the Bible? Because the Bible simply is an anthology of God's best, men and women who went through tough times, consequences, struggles, and God has recorded their lives and experiences. And when you read about Samson's life, you don't have to repeat his folly, but you'll receive the wisdom. Solomon, you can receive his wisdom. David, you receive his wisdom. And can you see that when you allow God to speak to you through this Bible, do you understand that he will give you the wisdom of the ages? Right here. His name was C.T. Studd, a great preacher of yesteryear. Before electricity, he used to travel, and at night he would read by kerosene lamp. One early morning, about 2 a.m., he was paging through the Bible just about this fast. And one of his partners, another pastor, was awakened by the pages being turned. And he looked up in the dim light and he saw C.T. Studd, great, well-known preacher, just going through his Bible. And he said, excuse me, sir. Looking over his horn-rimmed glasses, he said, yes. He said, what in the world are you doing up at 2 in the morning turning your pages? He said, do you really want to know? He said, yeah. He said, there's something wrong on the inside. I just don't feel right. My conscience is bothering me. And I don't know what it is, but it's in here somewhere. And he kept turning. You see, the Word of God washes you. How many of you would say, I need washing daily? Raise your hand. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I agree. You need washing daily. No, better not. We're going to have fights. So how do you do this? Well, here it is. When you get before the Lord daily, I'm going to ask you to take four things with you. Would you write them down? Number one, when you get before the Lord, bring what? Not your daily bread, not a devotional book, not a Christian magazine, not newspaper. What? The Bible. Would you write that down? The Bible. Because the Bible is the only book that is infallible. There are wonderful Christian devotional books. They're fine, but I tell you, it is not the Bible. Those are not infallible. That's a man's commentary that he's wordsmithed in a way that's somewhat eloquent. But this is the Word of God. And God will speak to you and honor his word and breathe life into you as he reveals his best to you. So one is the Bible. The second thing, bring a pen. A pen, that's right. Why bring a pen? Because I want you to mark your Bible up. Why? The Bible is holy. Can't you read? It says, Holy Bible. Don't touch that. That's sacrilegious. Just leave it on your coffee table. That's what I do, and I dust it. And then about every week, I change pages so people think I read it. I dust it again. See, I know you do that. Why a pen? Here it is. Please get my heart on this. This is not holy. No. This is just ink on pepper. That's it. You know what's holy? Is if I can get this into this. And when God breathes it into me, and I begin to change the way I think. So I start to think like God would think and see as God would see and make decisions and learn great depths and gems of wisdom. And I get it out of this and into this. God says, now that's holy. See, not leaving it on here. It's getting from here to here. Why do I use a pen? Because as you read the Bible, you'll miss some things because we can't understand all of it. So you say, yeah, I don't understand the Bible when I read it. Keep reading it. But I don't read it. I don't want to read it because it's too hard, some of these things. Well, you keep reading until the Lord highlights something for you. Because you want to always let the Lord raise you up to his standard. Not if you can't understand his and you can't bring him down to yours, then you drop out. No, you keep reading until God increases your understanding. For we find that scientists say that man, on the average, uses less than 4% of his brain. 4% is all you use. And I know some of you, that's stretching it. Even say 4%. And so we don't say, well, I'm just going to drag God down to my understanding. No. Keep submitting yourself to him and he'll raise the standard. And then when the Holy Spirit highlights something, what I do is all I'm doing is I am agreeing with what the Holy Spirit's saying. I'm saying, Lord, you're highlighting this to me, aren't you? Yeah, and you are saying this to me. You know what I'm doing? I am agreeing with what God is saying to me because he's speaking to me and breathing life into me. Page after page after page. So bring a pen. The third thing, a journal. Because when you sit with someone that you respect highly, you want to take notes. It honors that person when you take notes because it shows that you're interested in what that person's saying and you plan to apply it. And these are very inexpensive. I actually set it up here and we sent it to a printer, got it back so that it teaches you actually how to set it up. I even give examples of how to do it and how to set up your table of contents, etc. So that when you do it right, what happens is after you fill up this journal with what God has been speaking to you about, whether it takes 2 or 3 months or so, you look back at your table of contents and within one page, you'll be able to recall everything God said to you over the last 3 months. And it's a way to do it. It's very easy. And so these journals are available. Pick that up so that when God speaks to you about something, you start to write down the lesson. And at the end it says, how will I be different today because of what I've just read? Do you understand? If you can get in a year a lesson a day or even a lesson a week, you will be 52 times better because of what God said to you. So a journal. And then finally, number four, a Bible bookmark. Bible bookmark. And we provided one for you. Would you take this out of your bulletin? Right here it is. You fill it in and do the best you can. If you miss a day or two, just start with the day that it is and start afresh and keep going. And you might have some pukas in there, but you keep going because it won't be long before you really start to get it. And then it helps you to read through the Bible in a whole year. And you know what? If we can all do this together, can you see how the spiritual tide of this whole church will rise? It's not just one person trying to pull everybody else up. No, don't feed yourself just on Sundays. Let's start to eat every day. He's waiting for a personal appointment with you. He'll speak to you if you will submit your heart. And when you do, he'll breathe it to life. And even though people might abandon you, there'll be changes in your life, all kinds of things will go funny and awry. Listen, when you're meeting with the King every day and being tutored by the Holy Spirit, you will never walk alone. He'll have patience with you and give you his confidence and an uncanny confidence that's based on his strength because he sees that you're willing to meet with him. He loves talking to you. Let's listen. If you do, you'll never walk alone.
You have just heard a message entitled Heartburn, You Are What You Eat by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for joining us. Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Join us again at this same time tomorrow. And until then, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.